Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be learning about Shishak the Slee Stack. Okay, kids, I'm lying. There are no Slee Stacks in this chapter, but there are Shishaks. What's a Slee Stack, you ask? Well, I'm glad you asked. Slee Stacks were lizard people that dwelt in caves in the amazing TV show Land of the Lost that aired in the 70s. But back to Shishak.
Slee Stack!
Excuse me. What is a Shishak? Who is a Shishak? Well, after Rehoboam's position as king was established and he becomes strong, he and all Israel with him abandoned the law of the Lord. Because they had been unfaithful to the Lord, Shishak, king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem in the fifth year of King Rehoboam. I hope you were reading along with me in the Bible just then. Did you catch that? Because they were unfaithful and abandoned the law of the Lord, he raised up Shishak. Almost immediately, God sent something to bring them back to their knees, literally, and it works. Now, I've never been bungee jumping, but this is kind of like a reverse bungee cord. You see, when you bungee jump, you jump off a bridge or a really high cliff, and it pulls you back heavenward. Well, here we see there's a bungee jump in the opposite direction, and I've done this kind of bungee jumping a lot of times. You see, anytime I'm tempted to get up off my knees and ditch my dependence on God, it seems he's got my number and brings something into my life like a Shishak that gets me kneeling again. Whew, God, I need you. I need you again. Down my knees go. And to be quite frank, the down way is up. That's a very good place to be. If you're on your knees, dependent on God. And that's exactly where Rehoboam needed to be. And God knew that and brought him a Shishak. Now, verse 5 tells us, then the prophet Shemaiah came to Rehoboam and to the leaders of Judah who assembled in Jerusalem for fear of Shishak. And he said to them, this is what the Lord says. You have abandoned me. Therefore, I now abandon you to Shishak. Verse 6, the leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves and said, the Lord is just. When the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, this word of the Lord came to Shemaiah. Since they have humbled themselves, I will not destroy them, but will soon give them deliverance. My wrath will not be poured out on Jerusalem through Shishak. They will, however, become subject to him, so they may learn the difference between serving me and serving the kings of the other lands. You've got to hand it to God. There's kind of a brilliance about that, that he sometimes hands us over to things that become our masters so we can know that it's much better to be a servant of God than a slave to sin. Verse 9 picks up. When Shishak, king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem, he carried off the treasures of the temple of the Lord and the treasures of the royal palace. He took everything, including the gold shield Solomon had made. So King Rehoboam made bronze shields to replace them and assigned these to the commanders of the guard on duty at the entrance to the royal palace. Whenever the king went to the Lord's temple, the guards went with him bearing the shields, and afterwards they returned them to the guard room. Now, the fact that God turned back and delivered them is a direct fulfillment of the promise that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I will turn and hear them and deliver them. But oh, the gold shields in the face of Shishak. You see, the thing about the gold shields was they were an opulent sign of Solomon's wealth. They were a way of bragging and boasting, and Rehoboam loved the gold shields following him around and sitting up on his armory walls. But these shields were an attempt to hold on to some of the former glory that was lost. In other words, he has them recast after they're stolen by Shishak and carried away in bronze instead of gold. Number one, he couldn't afford to replace them because he now didn't have the treasure he once had. But he also recast them in bronze simply to keep up appearances. You know, I think our life is kind of like this. We do this in some ways. We might, for example, try to put the bronze shields back on the wall to say, hey, everything's okay. I'm fine, everybody. I didn't lose anything. It's like it was just before. But we all know it's bronze and not gold. Let's take one example, and I don't want to hurt any feelings here. I could use a whole variety of examples, but I think it's important sometimes to really lay down what we're talking about. Sometimes I've heard people talk about having a second virginity. They think, hey, I'll read the Bible, I'll go to church, and then I'll go live however I want to. I'll end up sleeping around and sleeping with whoever I want to, and then I'll go to the altar and I'll just pray that God restores my virginity. He gives me a second virginity. Oh God, please make me like a virgin before my wedding. Well, I've got news for you. There's only one time you're a virgin. You can pretend all you like, but the reality is, if you're saving it for the big day, it's going to pay out, and big time. Those are going to be shields of gold. You and your partner are going to receive the blessings of virginity on your wedding night, but if you haven't had sex with other people, that's the only way it's going to happen. That's the benefit of abstaining from sex, like God intended, before marriage, and being a virgin when you get to the altar. Now, this may not be popular to say, and I realize I'm stepping on toes, but that's how it works. There are blessings that come from obedience, and that, my friends, should be a motivator. It should motivate you to get there. Maybe you're not a virgin, and you've not made it to the altar as a virgin, and there's nothing wrong with saying, please, God, make it special for us on my wedding night. But the only way it's going to be special is if you don't have sex until your wedding night. For some reason, there are people that want this to be spun differently, but it's important for me to state emphatically, blessings come from obedience. Trying to pretend it's something not, if you're sleeping around now and then still hoping when you get to the altar on your honeymoon it's going to be this amazing thing because you put a ring on it, it's just not true. That's like putting a bronze shield up in place of a gold one. And God intends for you to have the best. Now, it's never too late to obey. Think of the reasons you're told not to have sex before marriage. It's because God wants the best for you. Because He wants you to have the best life you can possibly have. And the blessing is one partner for life. Now, you'll be told a million different reasons why this is also wrong. So allow me here to tell you, as someone who made it to the altar as a virgin, it's a fight that's worth every second. I've been a pastor for years, I've been in the psychology field for years, and I can tell you 100% there are a lot of headaches by sleeping with multiple partners. But hey, that's a choice we all make. And if you have had sex before marriage, there's grace for you. And you can follow God right where you're at. In Christ's eyes, by the way, you are a virgin. And that's not putting a bronze shield on anything. You are pure and spotless because He's wiped away every bit of your sin. And nobody can guilt you for anything you've done. In Christ, there is no guilt. But we're not talking about guilt here for sin. We're talking about costing ourselves blessings. We need to be real about these things. When we're tempted to put bronze shields in place of gold ones, Paul reminds us, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows is to please our flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And that's some tough talk from a salty Saint Paul. Paul, the one who tells us that all is forgiven in Christ, still tells us, be careful, because you will reap the consequences of bad actions and bad decisions, even if it means you carry around bronze shields instead of gold ones.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.